Be seated, please.
Would you open God's book, please, to Matthew chapter 5? And if you want an outline of my sermon, you may have it by leaving the Sermon on the Mount open on your lap. When I was a boy, my father used to say, and my father's a gospel preacher, he'd say, when you teach a man the truth, one of two things is going to happen. Either he will accept and obey it, or he will cease to be honest. Mark Twain once said, it's not the passages of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the ones I do understand that bother me. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, my Lord Jesus said this, except you be converted. And incidentally, this is it. This is the way that you and I have to look at the scriptures. One of the most frustrating things about personal evangelism, and many of you are involved in some sort of personal evangelism, or you have been, where you're working to teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes you get to that point where he or she comprehends the will of Christ and then hesitates. What should be my attitude toward the Word of God, the Word of Jesus? What should be my attitude? Jesus said, except you be converted, there's the change that's got to occur, and become as little children. He said, humble yourselves as little children. You shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. And that's true discipleship. It's where I pray to my Father, help me, O God, to have a childlike spirit toward thy word. That's the basis of what we're doing today. And I know that's a simple approach, but my objective is, as we go into the work week, that we'll have something to think about. Every sermon I hear, every class in which I participate, I need to not just let it be a mental exercise of pleasure where I just let it go through like water traveling through a pipe. I enjoy the thoughts, but then I walk out and I don't remember. I just leave it right there. I need to approach the listening of sermons in such a way that I am focused on how this can benefit me. What is it in my life, in this sermon, that I can use? How can I apply this to the way that I live right now? There's the heart of what we're doing in this lesson tonight. Now, this is something that cannot literally be done, but what fun it is to think about. Wouldn't it be something to have a personal conference with Jesus? I mean, suppose you could have an hour where you could just sit and ask him questions and talk with him. For the next few minutes, let's interview Jesus. The answers are going to be, I'm going to put the questions on the screen like we did this morning. And then after I read the question, the scripture reference will appear for where you can find the answer in your Bible, and we'll read that answer. So you need to keep your Bible on your lap so that you can quickly go to those scriptures and get the answers. We will all of the questions are going to be found, the answers are going to be found in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus, I'd like to ask a question. And we are under the heading, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, of seeking Jesus' counsel in personal matters. Jesus, this is something I'm wrestling with. We have a movie channel at home that shows R-rated movies. And sometimes there's nudity in the movies. Now, of course, naturally, Lord, we take the precaution. We don't let the children see this, just the adults. But it makes me feel guilty. Sometimes I feel guilty when we watch them. I guess you probably think we should stop, but I just want to know what you think about it. Another man raises his hand. Wait a minute, Lord, before you answer that question, I want to ask a question too, and it's not exactly the same thing, but before you answer, could I ask mine? There's this woman at work that's been making, advances to me. To be honest, sometimes I'm really struggling with temptation, even though I'm married. Can you help me with this, Jesus? Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it far from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Somebody else, Jesus, I have a question. I have a bad habit sometimes telling white lies. Nothing big, Lord. I mean, it's just the little things. And the lies slip out. And I know that I'm not telling the truth, but the white lies. And it's just a habit. Now, Jesus, I know that lying is wrong. But frankly, I'd like to think that white lies are not nearly so serious. What do you say, Lord? Let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Jesus, I have a friend who is constantly criticizing others for things that, I mean, frankly, she just assumes are true. I think that maybe if I talk to her, she'll listen to me. What do you think I should tell her, Lord? Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Somebody else. I've got one, Jesus. I'm leaving for college next fall. I mean, it's my first time to be this far away from my parents and the church. And, well, of course, I'm kind of nervous. I want to know, do you have any advice for me? Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Lord, I'm thinking about getting married, and I found this perfect man. I mean, he is just it. He's considerate. He's romantic. He makes me laugh. He's successful in business. The only thing about it is that he's been, well, divorced. And he told me that his divorce was not because of his wife's unfaithfulness. I mean, Lord, very few people think that this is a big deal anymore. But I want to know what you think. Does this have spiritual implications for me? It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. And now we shift gears. Let's change the subject. What about seeking the will of the Lord, the advice of Jesus, with reference to business matters? Any questions here? And a man raises his hand. I've got one, Jesus. I'm feeling bad about this, but here's where I am. Jesus, I don't attend worship consistently anymore. And frankly, I'm not involved in any of the works of the church, really. But I can't be. I'm too busy. You see, a while back, I was offered this promotion at work. Lord, the benefits, the salary were so good that I couldn't turn it down. Lord, I'm making good money now. You do understand that, don't you, Lord? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Look, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by being stressed, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One more. Lord, I'm starting a new job tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I'm starting my own business. You have any advice for somebody like me? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For such is the law and the prophets. Ladies and gentlemen, what a remarkable thought to be able to sit down and have conference, counsel with Jesus. What would you ask him? I mean, if you just had time alone with him and you could ask him anything you wanted about your life or about right and wrong, what would you ask him? The fact of the matter is that what we've been given in the New Testament is the last will and testament of Jesus designed to answer life's questions. May it never be true that the reason I can't find the answer is because I just don't want to know it. And may my life be designed in such a way that I have a childlike faith toward my Lord Jesus Christ. I don't take it lightly that I'm his disciple. I'm an apprentice. I sit at his feet. I want to learn from him, and I want to be just what Jesus wants me to be. Because after all, isn't that what a Christian is? Matthew 24 and 35, my Lord said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away." And in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and 18, Jesus said, "All power or authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Maybe there's somebody here tonight who hasn't obeyed the gospel. Maybe you have never put on your Lord in baptism. Would you like to do that tonight? Repent of your sins and confess his name and be immersed in water to have your sins washed away by his blood. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to leave this assembly tonight and know that you're right with God? And remember, as this sermon emphasizes, that it's a whole lot easier to plant a garden than it is to cultivate one. My, becoming a Christian is a beginning, not an end. And now I go to walk in newness of life and remain faithful unto death. I'm going to be, for the rest of my life, dedicated to following Jesus Christ. Is that your sentiment? Is that your heart tonight? If so, why don't you obey the gospel of Jesus? We make it our custom to offer the invitation of our Lord at every assembly such as this one. It's a good thing to do. We want to offer the opportunity and our assistance to anybody who wants to obey the gospel. But it's not our invitation. It really is the Lord's invitation. Should you choose to respond to this and obey the gospel, you're not responding to us, you're responding to the Lord, because it's his invitation. Should you choose to reject it, it's not us you're rejecting. It's the rejection of Jesus Christ and what he's taught you to do and be. We're going to sing a song of encouragement for anyone who would like to respond by coming down one of these aisles. If that's you, come now as we stand and sing.